The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
It's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting dodo birds, leaky black. The Eye on College Basketball Podcast is presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Matt Norlander is here with me. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. And please, while you're here, also subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel if you haven't done that already. Let's get into it. An Elite Eight game between Purdue and Tennessee was played Sunday afternoon in Detroit. It lived up to expectations. Both stars were tremendous. Both teams were great. But the better player and the better team ultimately prevailed. Final score, Purdue 72, Tennessee 66. Zach Edey, your reigning National Player of the Year, soon to be two-time National Player of the Year, finished with a career-high 40 points, 16 rebounds, plus a huge block on Dont Connect in the final minute. So Purdue is in the Final Four for the first time since 1980, and Matt Painter is no longer the best coach in college basketball who hasn't yet made a Final Four. That's because Matt Painter has now made a Final Four. Deadleg Purdue is where Purdue was supposed to be. Your thoughts on the Big Ten champs telling their skeptics to STFU?
STFU indeed. Yeah, we got two really fun, really good stories here to talk about here on a Sunday night. And Purdue doing this in the context of the game, quality game, not great shooting, epic performances from the two best players in the sport with Edey and Connect. And we got something that was just incredible. This was per ESPN Stats and Info that put this out. Purdue, Tennessee was the first time in the history of the tournament in which both teams involved in a game had a single player on their respective squads score at least half of their points. Edey goes for, he saves his greatest game for his latest game here with 40 points, 16 rebounds. Dalton Connect in his own right goes for 37 on 31 shots. No one else around him could get much done. Connect was the only Tennessee player in double figures. Fletcher Lawyer at least got 14 points. He helped him out a little bit there, but obviously it was just Edey one time after another. And this was our only 1-2 on the board in the regional finals, and we got a pretty good game. I mean, Purdue was able to close the door in the final 60 seconds, so it was not a game that came down to the final possession. I thought it was heading that way, Parrish, but how appropriate for Painter, for Edey, for Purdue. Not just to, they continue the Virginia blueprint here, lose to a 16, and now they still got two more two more wins await, and it's still, there's plenty of mountain to climb, but to do this and to do it so definitively, you know, to get to this point where you were a team whose resume was, you know, elite all season, early season dominance in Maui. Now you're 33-4, ranked third at KenPom. You know, I thought for Edie to take the team on his back, he cursed on, he dropped the F-bomb on CBS in the post game.
I know. I didn't know you could do that. I would have done that years ago if I knew you could do that.
Well, I don't know if you can do it. I think, Zach, once you drop 40-16 on Tennessee, then I think you're clear, GP.
All I know is that in the past 2 weeks, I've seen Zach Edey say the F word on CBS and Charles Barkley smoke in the CBS Broadcast Center. I didn't know you could do all these things.
Again, I don't think you can do those things, but Barkley and Edey, you know, legends in their own right, and Edie has become a legend. I'll toss it back to you, but I did put this out there a couple times because to me this is the thing we demanded of Purdue: minimally make the Final Four, otherwise you're not wearing off the stink of FDU. And for Edie to do that, he's going to win a second straight National Player of the Year, to have a career high 40, and I've got a litany of notes on him, but I'm going to save on it. It's just he is an all time college basketball legend. He just is. You do this, you get Purdue to its first Final Four in more than four decades, and you do it being the best player in the sport. Truly legendary status. What were your thoughts on what you saw play out in Detroit, GP?
Well, he was awesome, really from start to finish. And I thought you don't need a moment to be the two-time National Player of the Year, because he had that wrapped up no matter what happened today. But the block on Connect in the final minute is like perfect, because Connect was, if there, I want to be clear, there were never any challengers to Zach Edey for National Player of the Year. All right, none. This is like when we used to watch Katie Ledecky. Isn't that a real person, Katie Ledecky?
Katie Ledecky is a real person, yes.
Remember when she would swim and somebody would finish second, but it'd be like 70,000 yards behind her? Same deal in the National Player of the Year race. Like, somebody's got to finish second, and I think it should be Dalton Connect, but nobody was ever a serious challenger to Edie, but Connect was the most serious challenger to Edie. And for him to have that block in that final minute to cap off a 40.16 rebound effort was just awesome. And the post-game interview with Evan Washburn was great. Just showing, like, this is a guy who, keep in mind, he was asked in this NCAA tournament in a post-game setting about the pressure of Purdue, you know, needing to get out of, at first it was just the first weekend, and then of course it was out of the Sweet 16, and then it was always going to be, you know, out of the Elite Eight to the Final Four for the first time since 1980. And he consistently denied that there was any pressure, but you saw it all come out right there.
Yes, I agree.
Like, they've been listening for a solid year, for more than a year, they've been told they're frauds. For a solid year, they've been told they're just another good Big Ten team, but can't do anything in March. For a solid year, they have been, by some, not all, certainly not me, I'm 60% Boilermaker at this point, but by some, for a solid year, they have not been celebrated as much as they've been mocked. And so when you go out and knock off a two seed to go to the Final Four, and you have a 40.16 rebound, big block in the final minute effort to make all of that a reality, then, you know, that's when you're going to pop off a little bit, let the emotion come out. And he certainly did. But this is exactly why I've said multiple times over the past week or so, he can say there's no pressure on Purdue to get to the Final Four, but it's not true. It's cool if he doesn't feel it, but now we know he clearly felt it. That's what that post-game interview was. That was him letting all of that stuff that's been sitting in there for a year finally come out.
Yeah, I completely agree on that, and it provided a really tremendous moment. He also had a good moment in the postgame, not going to play it here on the pod, where he basically said, you know, I've had a lot of people overlook me, and he's not wrong about that, but he was recruited by high major programs. Like, Baylor was in on him, and Purdue was obviously in on him with many others, but he noted he remembered seeing Rick Barnes walk into IMG Academy, where, you know, Edie was initially just a player that was not even on the rotational secondary team, and so understandably, like, some schools passed on him, but now he gets to sit there as a senior going to a Final Four as a program legend, the greatest player in Purdue men's basketball history, as sitting there as a two-time player of the year and leading. Oh, by the way, the first leading scorer in men's D1 in a season to lead a team to a Final Four since Oscar Robertson in 60. That's a stunning stat that I didn't realize was in play until I heard it earlier in the day on the broadcast. Yeah, that's right. The Big O was the last time we had a guy lead the nation in scoring and also take his team to the Final Four. And remember, obviously, back when Oscar was playing with Cincinnati, we did not have a 64, 65, or 68 team field. Edie's also, and I'm really, Paris, I have no interest, to be honest, in giving the people that doubt Edie really any oxygen because honestly, like, it's a very small percentage of people. They're very online and they have nothing to stand on here. But the one thing I will say that reinforces why they don't have a case is when you see stats like this, Edie's the first guy to average 30 and 15 going into a Final Four since Elvin freaking Hayes did it in 1968. There's only four guys ever. And Edie's on the list to average at least 30 points and 15 rebounds through four tournament games. It's Edie, Hayes, the frickin' logo, Jerry West, and Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, just that kind of company is outrageous. And for Edie to step up in this game, and I know he went to the foul line a ton, but it doesn't matter. They leaned on him. Tennessee didn't challenge him enough on defense, in my opinion. They wanted to go all connect the way they did it. I get it entirely, but... credit to him, credit to the Boilermakers. They also are sharing the sugar well, man. They've got 92 assists right now. It's the most assists by any team going into a Final Four since 96 Kentucky, which was outrageously talented and one of the best teams we've seen in the sport over the past four decades. So the key in the game for me was when I actually tweeted in real time, there was a Tennessee got up 11. They went on a run and I thought it was the first time Purdue really faced a moment of crisis. If you want to say the Wisconsin game in the Big Ten tournament, I guess fine, maybe, but like their one seed was assured. I wouldn't even say that was a moment of crisis. They just didn't win the Big Ten tournament. It's been a long time since Purdue, maybe since the FDU game, was facing a moment like that. And then what happened? They peeled off a 15-2 run to close the half. They turned it on its head from being down 11 to being up a bucket and winning the half up going into the break there. I thought that was really, really significant and spoke to the team's resolve. They rode Edie a ton, but Lawyer had some good moments. Smith, obviously, it wasn't his greatest game by any stretch, but he did play well. 9 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. 3 turnovers in 36 minutes. They got just enough around him. And then the Lance Jones 3 late in the second half that put him up 6. It felt like it put him up 7 or 8. It was the one where I thought, okay, barring like the all-time Purdue moment here, they're going to win this game. And when they did, 72-66. And now Tennessee, as a result, it comes close. Final Four worthy team. This is how the bracket can break you sometimes. You just happen to get put in the same region as another really, really good team. Tennessee couldn't get it done. It is 0-6 now all time in the tournament against one seeds.
Back to Zach Edie. He shoots twice as many free throws as Tennessee's entire team. After the game, Rick Barnes said, among other things, like he just never leaves the paint, so it's very hard. Is any of that valid from your perspective?
I mean, he does leave the paint, but he's good at his awareness and how they actually use him. I mean, he's a huge human being. Like, what do you want from me? Like, he is very hard to defend. He's hard to officiate. He's hard to officiate against. He is a game breaking kind of player. And if anything, between him and what we got with DJ Burns, and obviously we're going to get to State in a second here. He is a generational player in terms of how he is used. And I credit Painter to the way that they use him and Edie for his own development. I find him to be very skilled. No, he's not ultra athletic, but for how big he is, I actually think he's pretty damn athletic for being that kind of size. We've seen other players be as tall, as big as him and still not, you know, exhibit the kind of grace, IQ, passing ability as him. So, it's a real terror to try and deal with him, and he lives in and around the paint, but I don't see him someone that's planting a flag there and drawing what should be a lane violation every other time down the floor. If you actually watch what he's doing, they deploy him really well. And sometimes like it's almost comical to see it, GP, and then it's yours to take it away, where it's like it's big brother taking on the three little brothers. And I should know that as a big brother of three younger brothers. Like I know that game. I was no Zach Edey when I was 13 and all my other brothers were, 8 years and younger, but Tennessee just did not attack him enough defensively, in my opinion. And then they found themselves in foul trouble immediately, time and time and time again. That felt inevitable because of the way Tennessee plays. They're going to hack you a ton. They're going to play physical. They're just going to do that. And Purdue obviously is the most disciplined non-fouling team in the sport.
I guess I would say, you know, as it pertains to the foul discrepancy, like I never care about foul discrepancy. Like there is nothing I find less interesting than somebody on TV saying this team has shot way more free throws than that team. It doesn't always mean anything. In fact, usually it means nothing. Often it's just a style of play thing. It's just like one team shoots a lot of jumpers and another team's constantly attacking or has Zach Edey. And so like that team's going to shoot more free throws than the team that's constantly shooting jumpers. And so when Tennessee fans or any fan base starts talking about free throw discrepancy, I want to get more specific always. Tell me what you're mad about. They shot way more free throws than you. Okay, that maybe they deserve to. Maybe you fouled them that much more. What exactly are you mad about? And I think if you were to ask Tennessee fans that, they wouldn't be able to find enough missed calls or imagined calls to close that gap in free throw discrepancy or foul calls. The biggest reason there was that kind of discrepancy is style of play. Tennessee fouls a lot, is very physical, and Zach Edey gets fouled a lot. So that's a perfect combination for this kind of thing. I think what Tennessee fans would point out, though, is there are times where he gets really rough with his body. Like, you know, his elbows are up and he's moving people around. And, you know, if you're looking for that on X or Instagram or wherever you look for videos, you can find it. And like I said on CBS Sports HQ, if you are looking for moments just to, you know, highlight what Rick Barnes said after the game and what, frankly, it feels like every Tennessee fan is saying about him camping out in the lane, if you want to find moments like where he, by the letter of the law, should be called for a lane violation, a 3-second violation, they're there. You can find them. I guess I would just ask you this. When do you even remember seeing a 3-second call in college basketball? When's the last time you saw one?
It's a rare deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it just seems crazy to me that Tennessee fans are screaming, where were the 3-second calls? They just don't exist. They're not real. They don't really, you don't see them. You know, so if you were sitting around hoping today was going to be the day where Zach Edey got called for a bunch of 3-second calls, like that just, it wasn't going to happen. That was a poor strategy if you thought that was going to be the way you get in this thing. Like, that's the way he plays. They have forever let him play that way. And you have to adjust to it rather than complain about it. Because if you don't adjust to it, you'll just be complaining about it after a loss.
Yeah, and listen, I want to give Tennessee credit on a wonderful season and Rick Barnes and his team living up to their seed expectation. You're a 2 seed. You're expected to make this round. And if you lose to a higher seed, a better seeded team, well, then there you go. And that's exactly what happened. Dalton Connect, you had an incredible, incredible year. And in fact, if you tell me we look up 5 years from now and there hasn't been a transfer that has a better season than what Connect just pulled off, I will believe you. What he did was outstanding. And he made Tennessee viable on the offensive end and exciting on the offensive end in a way that we haven't seen with other Barnes teams, even the group from 2019 that also got knocked out against a different type of Purdue team in the 2019 Sweet 16. I was there. That game happened in Louisville. So credit to Tennessee and Barnes he's been to a Final Four. It's been 2 decades. This team had a really good shot to do it. It went up against, you know, the most dominant player in the sport and couldn't work around it. And he needed 40 and he needed all 40 to get past you. So you should take pride in that. It does sting. I get it. He's a different kind of player. And although he's not as good or as skilled or as dominant as the likes of a Lou Alcindor, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Walton, he does do things that when I hear people either comment or complain about how he changed the game, it reminds me of when I would grow up and either watch old television programming that when you'd have people that saw them talk about these players or people, you know, now just, you know, they had to outlaw the dunk because of Lou Alcindor, a real thing that actually happened in D1 college basketball because it was considered unfair at the time. If they had had social media back in the late 60s, although Alcindor was a transcendent high school prospect. Again, these two, there's no true comparison. Alcindor is the greatest college player that ever was. He was a game changer. Edey is made to be a game changer in different kind of ways. He is a bigger human being overall. And by the way, he now crossed 900 points and 450 rebounds in a season. Again, like the argument against Edey is over. It's done. You're not dying on the hill. If you're trying to make the argument, you are dead. You are dead on the hill. The only players ever to go for 900 points and 450 boards in a season are Bird, Elvin Hayes, Oscar Robertson, and Rick Barry. Go check out what he did in college. And Edey, that's it. It's done. We're moving on. He's going to the Final Four. He's done an incredible thing, produced an amazing story. They break through. We'll see if they can get a win or two here from you know, for the rest of the season, Parrish. But this absolves a lot of what last year brought. The full redemptive arc would require an outright NCAA championship. We'll see if they can get there. But I'm impressed on the whole with what Purdue has done from the go, from the very start of the season to now. It's one of the better stories we've seen in college sports in the past 5 years, right up there with Virginia and pretty much anything else you want to put there.
obviously Purdue is not satisfied, should not be satisfied. They're good enough to win a national championship, and that is the goal. But do you agree with this? Perhaps the entire arc isn't complete, to steal a wrestling phrase. The story isn't finished yet, but the Purdue jokes are over, right? I mean, just by getting to the final four, that's
not, here's why they're not. Here's why they're not for some.
Because if they were to lose, they would lose to NC State.
And no, not just that. It would be another loss in the tournament against a double-digit seed.
I know.
We are not. No.
Okay, I got you. Okay, the jokes are done as long as they get to the title game, even if they lose to UConn. Is that fair?
I would think that's entirely fair, but a double-digit loss in the tournament still is on the table.
A loss to a double-digit seed is still possible. Just some more stuff on Edie, and then one last thing on Tennessee, and then we'll get to DJ Burns.
Let's go. I'm ready now. But yeah, finish up.
We've been talking at least three times a week since November. Have you ever said DJ Burns' name one time?
I've been thinking, and I have. Yeah. Well, not until earlier this month, but that's the tournament. That's why it's incredible, man.
In addition to the 900 points and 450 rebounds this season for Zach Edey, he also has 120 points and 65 rebounds so far in this NCAA tournament, according to Jared Burson, who is the godfather of ESPN stats and info. He's the first person with this many points and rebounds in an NCAA tournament since Larry Bird in 1979. First player to get 40 and 15 in an NCAA tournament game since Bo Kimble, 1990. There's just a lot of historically great stuff connected to Zach Edey, and that is because he's a historically great college basketball player. On Tennessee, I'll just leave it here. That's one of the best seasons in Tennessee basketball history. I know it ended in a disappointing way, and I know that you might never's a long time, but it's possible. It'll be a long time before you have another difference maker, shot creator, NBA prospect like Dalton Knecht. And so on some level, missed opportunity, I guess. You're in a tie game with just a few minutes to go, trip to the Final Four on the line. But Tennessee has only won 12 conference regular season titles in history. They got one this season. Tennessee has only made two Elite Eights in history. One of them is this season. Tennessee hasn't had a top 10 NBA draft pick since 1983. Dalton Knecht could change that this year. Like, I don't want to say this is as good as it ever gets for the Vols, because that'd be crazy to put a ceiling on a program like that. But this is as good as it's ever been for the Vols. And that's the way, I think, when you get some distance between what happened today and wherever you find yourself in a week or two, you'll be able to look back and go, that was a really fun season. We were a really good team that had a great player, and we got eliminated in the Elite Eight by a better team with a better player. Like, as simple as that. I know maybe that doesn't make it hurt any less, but that's what happened, and I could live with that.
I can live with that, too. Congrats to Tennessee, but we got to get to this. Let's get to Burns. If you're watching on YouTube, I've already made my lock screen Burns versus Edey for the Final Four. Let's go, baby.
We'll turn our attention to NC State's latest upset of Duke next. But first, a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
In the South region, in Dallas, Chloe upset Kim. Final score, NC State 76, Duke 64. DJ Burns and the Wolfpack are headed to the Final Four on a 9-game winning streak after entering the ACC tournament on a 4-game losing streak with a 17-14 record featuring a 9-11 mark in the ACC. Since then, NC State has gone 9-0 with wins over Duke twice, North Carolina, Virginia, Marquette, Texas Tech, Jack Golke, Louisville, and Syracuse. Duke? How about this?
Yeah.
Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, Marquette, Louisville, Syracuse. Six programs have all won national championships in my lifetime. NC State has beaten all of them on this 9-game winning streak to make the Final Four for the first time since 1983. Deadleg, I'm serious. I don't think we talked about NC State for 1 minute during the regular season on this podcast. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. For one, I don't remember talking about them. I don't remember talking about them for 1 minute. And now the entire country is talking about them. That's a wild situation.
And listen, it's been a big moment on the pod for State fans in general because Chip Patterson was on here 2 nights ago going absolutely ham on State. Will Brinson is out of his mind. Will Brinson might be running through the streets of Raleigh naked right now.
I hope so. I really do hope so as well.
I hope he's running naked all the way to Arizona. I would love to see him out there if he can somehow pull that off. Listen, State fans that listen to the pod like every week, let us know whether you snuck into a Final Four and won. Like if I mentioned you as a game to watch, I think I'm going to say over under 0.5 NC State mentions in the regular season, not conference tournament time. I would take the over, but if you gave me 1.5, I don't know if I would take the over there. And it is just this is phenomenal. It really is. I'll quick thoughts on the game that played out, and then I'll go big picture. We can talk big picture with both DJs, but obviously Burns going to superstar status here. Duke only having 64 points, shooting 32%. It was the latest victim. I mean, NC State is on this streak, Parrish, where it has not allowed its past six opponents to cross the 40% threshold from the field. The program hasn't had a streak like that since 2008. NC State was helped by the fact, and I really was picking up on this deep into the second half, it was not turning the ball over. Duke was not it was not forcing the issue, and it was not able to capitalize on getting out in transition. And so because NC State only had five turnovers, and because DJ Burns, who in this game, just what a moment. Like, you're the last regional final on Sunday, CBS A team on the call. You've had all of this buildup that goes back to the ACC tournament, and you show up like this with 29 points. Again, a few dazzling, he only had three assists, but a few dazzling passes to set him up. DJ Horn had 20. It was an incredible thing for college basketball to see him meet the moment again and again, and Ian Eagle saying, you know, DJ Burns, banger after banger, and unquestionably, I mean, we had Ian Eagle calling him a cheat code, and he looked like it. And for Duke, you know, Filipowski fouled out. McCain actually tied Zion for the most points in a Duke game for a freshman with 32. He had a really emotional moment afterward on the podium. We get those obviously annually, and he has played himself easily, in my opinion, into the lottery this year. But they needed more. Filipowski's career, you know, almost definitely is going to be over. You got to think he's going to the NBA. He finishes with 11 points on 3 of 12 shooting, GP, 9 boards, and a foul out, and a Duke team that it just. Reed Kyle Boone, he was on site there, and Reed David Cobb, by the way, he was on site for us in Detroit. But I was so stunned by Duke's lack of execution second half. NC State shot, by the way, NC State shot 73% in the second half. Okay, it was NC State. The wild swing in this is first half, NC State in this game, 26.5%. It was its worst half shooting the entire season. It followed that up with its best shooting half of the season, 73.1%. It did not have a sequence in the second half, Parrish, NC State, where it missed consecutive field goal attempts. Outrageous, beautifully played, 9 straight wins. 7 of those have come as an underdog for NC State, and it has turned in just an all-timer. I mean, 14 losses going to the Final Four. That's more than any team in the history of the event. 14 L's and you're going to the four? Give me what your thoughts are on what we saw play out in the nightcap. DJ Burns, Duke, and all things related.
Just a totally out of nowhere second half from both teams. Like the first half, you know, both teams were in the 20s. John Shire did the CBS interview heading into the locker room and was just like, you know, we're really disjointed right now. And I was in studio CBS Sports HQ here in Stamford, Connecticut. I was with Hakeem Dervish and was talking to Hakeem, and I was like, you know, if I'm John Shire, if I'm both coaches, I can go in and send a pretty positive message to my locker room. But if I'm John Shire, I'm in my locker room and I'm saying, all right, that wasn't good. But we got nothing from Filipowski. We got nothing from Proctor. And we're up 6. We're fine. All right? Like, we got Jared McCain's the only dude playing for us. And we're ahead. We're fine. And then they come out and they give up 55 points in the second half.
Crazy.
I mean, they gave up more points in the second half to NC State than they gave up in an entire game to Houston.
Mm-hmm. It's a great nugget. Great nugget.
Duke, but it wasn't. That's the thing. Typically, when these types of things happen, it's like, yeah, they were okay on offense, but then they just couldn't stop anybody. Or they were guarding, but they couldn't score. They could score and they could guard. They just completely fell apart. They end up shooting 32.2% for the game. That's the worst field goal percentage of the season for them. It's the third worst field goal percentage for Duke in an NCAA tournament game in school history. So they did that thing that it happens sometimes. Sure. But they did that thing that you cannot do, which is play your worst game of the season at the worst time of the season. Purdue FDU last season, that's what that was. And that's what it was here, Duke NC State. You don't want to take anything away from NC State. They're on a 9-game winning streak for crying out loud. But, man, I mean, Filipowski fouls out with 4:52 left. Mm-hmm. 3 of 12 from the field, 11 points, 5 fouls, you know. Tyrese Proctor, 0 of 9 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. Was he the most disappointing player in the country this season?
I'd have to go back and look at our top 101, and not that we are the absolute arbiters of this kind of stuff.
Yes, we are. I know.
I will say this, though. Proctor, I got to figure he's going to put his name in the draft. And he sure well might wind
better
up.
Put it in a big 3 draft.
Well, we'll see on that. He did. Duke fans watching, listening, they are all too aware of the fact that there were just pockets the entire season where they needed more out of Proctor, and it was not that. Mitchell fouled out as well, but to me, Proctor was, I mean, to not score a point against NC State in this game, 9 field goal attempts, not a single point, not a single one in 30 minutes. That's part of it as well. Go ahead.
I was just going to say he was 14th on our list of the top 101 college basketball players heading into this season.
That's a swing and a miss. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that one. Cause that one, I think more than even you, GP, that one's.
Oh, I remember, I don't know how lower I was on him, but I do remember seeing him pop up where he was on that list and going, I don't think I had him that high. And it was one of those deals where, you know, he was also a projected like top 10 pick in the NBA draft back in October. So some of it I think was he's back on paper, preseason top five team, great NBA prospect. He's got some experience. Maybe this will be the breakthrough season, but it wasn't. He just was not. He had some moments, but he was largely unimpressive for the entire season and awful in this Elite Eight game.
Yeah, I think I had Proctor outside my top 20, but
that one's on me. I was wrong.
I take it for the team there. Tough stuff overall. I want to give Luke Dukak a nod here. Great writer for Carolina Triangle Media. He said Duke lost twice to UNC, including senior night in Cameron, lost twice to NC State at ACC tournament and then the Elite Eight. That's 1-4 against intra-triangle schools. And remember, Duke also got dropped, you know, K's final home game to Carolina in the final four to Carolina. Cooper Flagg's on his way, and this roster is going to take a major shift. And we'll talk a lot about Duke in the offseason and all that stuff because it's going to look different here. And I think on balance, if you look across the board, Shire's done a pretty good job. It does to lose to state in the Elite Eight. And this kind of, there have been a lot of gut punches for this program over the past three tournaments / 2 years. And in particular, State ended your ACC tournament championship dreams in that bracket there. And then they end your tournament dreams here. And I'll also note Lavelle Moten, who coaches North Carolina Central, he sent out the video on Saturday. And while we have given plenty of attention to NC State being down at the half in the first game of the ACC tournament on that Tuesday afternoon when it is only friends and family that give any kind of damn about this. That game was only being tracked for the Kenny Payne has been officially fired tracker. That is it. NC State wins it. But that's not the one. That's not the one that makes this so insane. The one that makes it so insane was the fact that against Virginia on the Friday night in the semis, when Virginia was up and it had Beekman missed a couple of foul shots. Someone else might have missed a couple, a foul shot or two.
Isaac McNeely is at the line. Virginia is up three. There are 5.3 seconds remaining. He is an 84.7% free throw shooter on the season. If he makes this free throw, the game is over. He missed it. NC State gets the rebound. Virginia doesn't foul up three.
That's right.
Michael O'Connell banked in three. Gets it to overtime. They win the game. If not for all of that, like Isaac McNeely is Burns is the star of this story. Isaac McNeely could have ended this weeks ago by making a free throw as an 85% free throw shooter.
It truly is the beauty and the madness of this incredible tournament. It really is. This is different than UConn and Kemba. That UConn team was good. That UConn team was a three seed. Yes, it won the Big East tournament, won 5 games in 5 days. This is different. There is no parallel here. There just isn't. And we have DJ Burns now who has elevated himself to a national sports icon. I'm not kidding. He is as big of a deal going into the Final Four as UConn being a behemoth, as Alabama getting to its first Final Four, as Zach Edey being National Player of the Year. DJ Burns, I love everything about this story, and I mean everything from Kevin Keats interviewing him with the media gaggle after the game and asking him a few questions there to him. You know, there was video shared on March Madness's official social channels where he's taking photos before the game and after the game with, you know, the people, the workers in the arena. It is impossible not to love this dude and love his story. This is his fifth year of playing. It's his sixth year of college basketball. And he has guided NC State to an all-time March story. And in the process, I mean, go get that money, kid. I hope you have made yourself more than $1 million in the past 3 weeks with what you have done. NC State's players and roster in general, but DJ Burns has emerged as not just like the lovable star. He is straight up kicking ass in these games. It is a joy to watch him play. And while we were not given what I think would objectively have been the most satisfying Final Four from a, you know, a broad standpoint, if you got Duke in a Final Four along with Purdue, Bama, and UConn, which you looked at the Elite Eight teams, DJ Burns is going to bring people to the television set on Saturday night because NC State has something special, magical going. They're obviously back in the four for the first time since Jimmy V led them to the title as a sixth seed in 83.
Like, my mom was texting me about DJ Burns today. Right? I mean, my mom usually only texts me about my children, but now it's my children and DJ Burns.
That's right. That's what DJ Burns can do for a family. Yes.
He's basically bringing my family closer. People love him for all of the obvious reasons. And I had somebody ask me, like, where'd this guy come from? Or how did we miss this all season? You didn't miss anything all season. This is not who he's been. He averages like 13 points a game, 12.6. He averages 12 points entering this game. He averaged 12.6 points on a season for a team that finished two games below 500 in the ACC. If you want to know why we didn't spend much time on it, because what were we going to say? How about this? Before the NCAA tournament started, so the entire regular season, the entire ACC tournament, he had scored more than 20 points in a game this season one time.
Amazing stat. That's, you'd never, if you started watching, if you went, if you took a personal 2-3-4 year holiday from college basketball, you came back and you're like, all right, I'm going to start watching at the start of the ACC tournament, you would think this guy is at worst a second team All-American. It's amazing.
No, he scored more than 20 points before the NCAA tournament one time. He averaged 12.6 points heading into this game. He got 24 two games ago against Marquette, got 29 this game against Duke. All right, that's what we're dealing with here. This is kind of out of nowhere. And it's a blast to watch, whether it's watching him interact with his teammates, his father in the stands.
Yeah.
This really is something that we would only get here.
That's right.
You wouldn't get this in the NFL playoffs. You can't get this in the college football playoff. You can only get this here. And I'm not one of those college basketball people who says, and therefore there's nothing better in the whole planet. Y'all can debate that. I like the World Cup too. I enjoy the Major League Baseball playoffs. I like it all, but you can't get this anywhere else. The DJ Burns story, it is unique to college basketball.
It's unique. And I can't wait to cover this thing on the ground in Arizona and to see, listen, they're going to be an underdog, but they've been an underdog 7 of the past 9 times they've played, and they've won every single one of those games. It really, really was something what he's been able to do. And now we get DJ Burns. We get DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. It's just amazing. It really is. That is genuinely enticing. Cause what I really truly hope happens is that Burns steps up and has we'll see who wins and who loses. I want both of those players to bring it on Saturday in Glendale, and to give us a show, you know, give us the show, because Burns is, he's an amazing story, man. And I don't want, he's been the star, but DJ Horn's the team's leading scorer. They needed him as well. Like, he's been huge. O'Connell, Morsell, Diarra's defense has been so significant, but for NC State fans, I'm going to a quick coda here on what I said two nights ago with Chip on the show. I'm so thrilled and happy for you because you have been waiting and waiting. You hadn't been in an Elite Eight since 86. You know, many of you that probably listen to the show and are, if you are an NC State fan, you had not experienced this. And to just get this gift from the heavens out of nowhere that you're going to the Final Four is incredible. And to me, I love these stories. And it has happened again, by the way, Parrish. It has happened again. Every single tournament since 2013 has seen a team seeded fifth or worse break through to the Final Four. And I think we're at 5 straight tournaments where it's been an 8 seed or worse. And what, you know, 9 of the past 10 tournaments have had a 7 or worse someone is always squeaking through. They're getting in. They're breaking through. Identifying that team is not easy. NC State is now the fifth 11 seed to make it through, or the sixth 11 seed to make it through, I guess. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, the previous five, none of them made the title game. Most recently was UCLA in 21. Loyola Chicago, of course. What an amazing tale that was. That was 18. VCU, the first year, the first four. They went first four all the way to the final four. George Mason, 06. How could we ever forget that? But then you'd have to go 20 years prior, second year of the expanded field, when LSU from the 11 line did it. So we'll see if NC State can buck the trend. But even if it can't, this is an amazing all-time story for that team, that program, that part of the country, the triangle, and just the latest reason for why tournament's incredible. They only got in because of what championship week provides. They get in and they survive Oakland. They beat Marquette, and they get an intra-conference rival. They get Duke. They get the big boy. They get the program that's got, you know, almost as many wins in this tournament as any other program, has more wins over top seeds than anyone. But it was an 11, a familiar foe, the little brother that actually got it done. NC State versus Purdue Saturday night in Glendale.
I've decided I think I'm going to change in advance of next season. I think when you see my Final Four predictions in advance of next season or heading into the NCAA tournament next season, I am just going to randomly just pick a team from anywhere.
That's right.
Come on. You're always getting on me because I'm like, just make the top four in the top 25 and won my four Final Four teams. And then you always counter by saying, but it's never the four best teams. It's always a team, at least one, seeded fifth or worse. So that means it should be somebody, you know, outside of your top 16.
Sure.
It should be. So next year I'm going to pick here's my Final Four heading into the season. Number one, number two, number three.
Okay.
And somebody ranked outside of the top 16, because you're right. At some point it's just like, it always happens. The problem is you cannot reasonably figure out where it's going to happen. you can safely say it's going to rain tomorrow somewhere, but you can't figure out where.
It might be here. I think it's coming, actually.
Oh, by the way, how far am I from you? How far am I from you now?
That's a good point. If you left your hotel, you could get up to my place in like 35 minutes. GP is coming to us from Stamford, Connecticut here. Yes, you are in the same. I told my wife, she's like, wait, he's in Stamford? I was like, yeah, he did studio stuff there. I forgot. He's actually in the same state as me right now.
I wanted to come to celebrate UConn's second straight Final Four appearance. So I came to the, what state is this? What state is UConn? Connecticut? What state is Connecticut?
What, like the nickname?
Yeah. What is it?
The nutmeg steak.
I was going to say that, but then it felt like it might be wrong. But yeah, I wanted to come to the nutmeg steak to celebrate UConn's second straight trip to the Final Four. So here I am. I got a nice little mall right across the street.
Yes, there is. And yes, I know exactly where you're at. Yeah, it's a growing metropolis. I once upon a time, I lived in that city. We did have a poll, by the way, that I want to share real quick. The poll question on the show was, and before I give you the results, if you're listening along, make your pick and see if it matches up. Who are you rooting for to win the national title? We've got four teams left: UConn, Bama, Purdue, NC State. Who are you rooting for to win the title? Parrish, before I give you the answer, what is your guess as to what team is winning the poll? Who are you rooting for to win the title?
I mean, I'm a Boilermaker.
Purdue is winning the poll. Purdue at 40.
I mean, I would assume it's got to be NC State or Purdue, because you're either the sentimental pick and, oh God, I love Matt Painter. You know, it's that, or it's, I love DJ Burns. So it's that.
That is the top two. Purdue 44%, NC State 34%, UConn might be inevitable, 16%, and Alabama, not a lot of people rooting for the tie, just 5%. Again, this is our live YouTube poll right here. But it is, it's a Final Four with plenty of storylines. Alabama beating, and I know you went over this last night, so we don't need to go over really anything on it, but Alabama beating Clemson at least gives us the thought of a hey, maybe, they can actually, maybe they'll be super hot from the field and try and win a race against UConn. So I don't put that out of the realm of possibility. But I love it, man. We got 2-1s, a 4 and 11. It's plenty of spice for me.
Hey, before we get out of here, let's actually just real quickly focus on the national semifinals, give you some tip times, some point spreads. We'll do that next. First, though, one more word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Programming note, we will be back on CBS Sports Network 2 o'clock Eastern on Monday afternoon. So we'll be saying a lot of this stuff again, just like in different clothes and stuff. But before we get out of here, let's initially look ahead to the 2024 Final Four. It's now set on Saturday in Glendale, Arizona. The doubleheader is going to unfold like this. 6:09 Eastern, 3:09 local time, Purdue versus NC State. Purdue has opened as a 9.5-point favorite. The total is 146.5. 8:49 p.m. Eastern, 5:49 local time. UConn, Alabama. UConn has opened as an 11.5-point favorite. Total's 161.5. Trivia time. UConn, Alabama is the biggest point spread in a Final Four game since.
Man, Parrish. Can you give me a hint that doesn't give it away?
Bubble.
Ooh, so that was really okay. That recently, so,
and I just gave it away, but
it is because Gonzaga was absolutely destructive. But let me try and guess. Do you have the line? Let me try and guess that Gonzaga UCLA. You have it.
I don't remember it being this.
Well, remember UCLA UCLA was an 11,
right?
Coming in from the first four, Gonzaga was
first in KenPom, first in all the computers.
I'll say Gonzaga was 13.5. That's my
it guess. Was 14. Gonzaga minus 14 against UCLA. I could only find point spreads dating back to 2003, but this will be the second biggest line in a Final Four game since at least the 2002 NCAA tournament, the UConn minus 11.5. And then of course, Purdue minus 9.5. That's the thing. Like, who knows? NC State has surprised us 8 straight times. Do you realize they've been underdogs?
Well, I guess Louisville wasn't a surprise. Right. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. They were underdogs in eight. They beat Louisville, and they have been an underdog in the next 8 games.
Our CBS Sports note was 7. So, but maybe it was. I could be wrong on that. Okay,
I looked it up at Syracuse against the second game was against Syracuse, and they were underdog there. That's what I saw, and then an underdog in every game going forward. But
Oakland, they weren't an underdog versus Oakland.
Okay, that would have been the one. Yeah. My bad. You're right. So, okay, they're on a 9-game winning streak. They've been underdog 7 times in this 9-game streak. So they surprised us all before. Simply put, we didn't think they were going, or at least the betting markets didn't think they were getting to the third round of the ACC tournament or the first round of the NCAA tournament, right? So, like, I'm not going to make any big proclamations. I mean, I might, but I'm not right now. I guess this is the point I'm trying to make. We could be headed for an all-time great national championship game. The semifinals, at least the point spreads suggest, they could get a little lopsided.
They could, and I think it's fair to say on our Monday show, which will also go into the feed, we'll get a little more preview action going with that podcast and what you're kind of getting here. But again, this is what I care about. Yeah, there we go. Oh, I got to delete that text message. Don't know who's sending it, just in case. Don't know who's sending it, just in case. But there we go.
Buddy, no, there. Every once in a while, back in Memphis, we have two different studios, and I'll sit in with Chris Vernon every once in a while on his show, like once a week. And they've got a camera that shoots over his back shoulder right onto his computer screen. And I was like, do not ever, ever put that camera on me. That's too, my whole life could be ruined. I don't need anybody ever seeing my computer screen. Screen or nothing.
Yeah, it was a harmless text message, but you never know on all that. Listen, we have intriguing storylines. We will obviously be breaking them down plenty. Are you, by the way, I lose track with Arizona. It is not 2 hours. It is 3 hours behind. We're 100% sure on that.
I have been checking. I have to double check myself all the time. So you know what I do? I Google this exactly. What time? What time is it in Phoenix right now?
Game's in Glendale. Can't be too certain. It's in Glendale.
If there's a different time between Glendale and Phoenix, we have no chance. Okay. If Phoenix is different than Glendale, we have no chance of being anywhere on time. It's 7:29 right now in Glendale, Arizona. It's just 3 hours behind this Eastern time zone.
Okay. Very good. Very good. By the way, we have, this has not been intentional. We've been better about this in years past. We have a bracket pool, a bracket games thing for CBS Sports, like a pod group. And normally I've given shouts in the past and I dropped the ball big time, but I'm going to give a quick couple of shouts here to folks that are, all right. So Joe Magliocha, you're winning the bracket games for now. You're winning, and you got UConn winning it. So you're in the pole position. John Lervazuk, Ross Cleveland, Victoria Ellers. Shouts to all three of you Purdue fans. You're tied for second place. And then James Robertson in High Rong Park had Duke winning. Credit to you guys. Winners will get shouts, and we'll try and see if we can get some sort of some sort of reward gift, something like that, to like the top three or so. But that has been a thing. We had a lot of people join. We forgot to listen to pot doing so many of these things. We didn't even promote this thing, but the people, I think, just got automatically notified if they'd done it in years past, nearly 3,000 brackets. So if you're still standing tall, credit to you, because I don't know how many people, how many people put NC State into the Final Four that live outside of the 919. Like that, the very, very few.
I don't know, but I did hear in studio tonight that of the CBSSports.com brackets, it was 0.6, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Expectedly very, very low. So yeah, I think that about covers it. Well, just for housekeeping purposes, Bama, first Final Four in school history. Mm-hmm. Purdue, first time there since 80. NC State, first time there since 83. UConn, first time there since last year. Last year, in the seventh overall appearance, it's UConn's first time ever going to back-to-back Final Fours.
Yeah, and like I said, I was with Kyle Boone on Saturday night. Like, I'm going to continue every time I get asked, who's going to win the national championship? I'm going to keep saying Purdue, but I'm not arguing with it. I know. I just because don't I have to just don't I just have to don't I just wouldn't the worst thing in the world that could happen to me is me finally go, guys, okay, it's UConn. I've seen enough. And then Purdue goes and wins the national title. I can't do that. So I just got to ride this thing out. But I'm not arguing with you. If you want to say, hey, GP, you look like a penis and I think you're an idiot because you don't think UConn's going to win the national championship, I won't even argue with you. I might even like it. I might just hit like on it and say, I know what you're saying. UConn looks unbeatable. All right. They do. But Purdue is awesome too. And like I was talking to Kim earlier tonight, or maybe it was Kyle last night. I don't know. I've been talking to a lot of people. So when I hear people say, man, UConn just looks unbeatable, I get it. I'm watching the same things. I got the same data. But I remember when UNLV looked unbeatable, you know? And I remember when Kentucky looked unbeatable. We've seen teams that look unbeatable get beaten before. And by the way, those were undefeated teams, whereas UConn has lost, you know, never on a neutral court, never at home. So they'd have to lose in a different way than they've ever lost. They're the favorite for a reason. They're -190 to win the tournament now. -190. That's a pretty, heading into the Final Four, that's a pretty big number. Yeah. Purdue is next at +195. Then it's Alabama +1600, NC State +1800.
Ridiculous.
I know. I mean,
that is a cliff.
Oh, it's a cliff. That's why we're probably headed for what we should have been. With all due respect to Houston, Houston should never be left out of this conversation. Right, Houston had just as impressive of a season as UConn and Purdue. And really, the only difference between UConn and Purdue and Houston right now is that one of those teams lost their best player at the end of the first half of a Sweet 16 game.
And All-American too, by the way.
Yes. And the other two, you know, they had their All-Americans for the entirety.
Let's get out of here.
So I don't want to ever act like we were always headed for UConn-Purdue because it could have been Houston. But UConn-Purdue-Houston, some combination of that has always been the two best in the sport this season. And it now appears, barring a big upset on Saturday, that's what we're going to get on Monday night, which it should be awesome.
Before the shouts, I got something that's going to bring a smile to your face because I had forgotten it, but I remember. Tristan came in. He said, hey, I'm coming in late. I remember two state mentions on the pod this season. You talked for a minute before State and UNC's first game this season. No memory of that.
None.
And the other mention was DJ Horn's double bird. Okay. Forgot about the double bird. Yes. How about that?
And did you see that? Did you see the little NC State fan tonight that went viral?
Incredible. You got like a 6 year. He looks younger than my older son. He's dropping a bird on the officials because
my little guy does that too. That looked, I saw that. I was like, that looks just like my little guy.
Maybe it was. Maybe
it could have been my little guy.
Yeah, there we go. I think that's a show.
Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry and Meffin Teagle, legend. Huck, Larnell, thank you guys once again for watching, listening to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. More of us than there are of them. DJ Burns. Us or them?
Not even a question.
Not even a question.
We already know the answer.
Oh, and I saw a video of Zach Edey popping around the internet tonight. Do you see this one?
I did not.
Buddy. Okay. He was walking into a room with a young woman, it looked like. He looked very much like a us.
Okay.
Well, it looked like he was at a party and he had to duck his head under a, you know, I guess looked like a us. That's all I'm saying.
Show.
Huck and Larnell.
Monday, 2 Eastern, CBS Sports Network.
Hey, I can't wait for that. Isn't that going to be fun?
It will be. We'll spin even more forward, I think, and try not to completely repeat this show.
We'll do our best. We'll talk to you then. Till then, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.